Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
You know, getting behind, I thought that was a big piece of it. And then I thought coming out of the half, you know, got a nice return to get going. And at that point, I thought we'd ready to go back into it. And then another score later, we're behind. But I just felt like we didn't find the rhythm, John, that we needed to. Really from Jump Street, didn't feel like our third downs, our conversions in that space were at a spot that we need them to be.
Dan Quinn trying to make sense of last night's loss at Lambeau. Final score for the Commanders was a little more respectable as they drop a road game, first time they left Landover this season, 27-18. But that was a 27-10 game at the three-minute mark of the fourth quarter. And for Washington, your leading rusher had 17 yards, your leading receiver before garbage time, sub 50 yards. It just wasn't productive enough. 3.5 yards per play. They got outgained 404 to 230. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome onto the show our guy Michael Phillips, the Richmonder and Odyssey Richmond. He was at Lambeau Field. Last time you and I made the trip to Lambeau, we did the big steak dinner at the restaurant where you sit around the community grill and cook in the middle of the restaurant. Did you visit that establishment that we like so much?
I took AWOD to the Cook Your Own Steak restaurant. The best part of the Cook Your Own Steak restaurant is explaining it to everybody the next day. They're like, wait, you went to a restaurant and you paid the money and they let you cook your food and then go serve it to yourself and eat it. And yeah, that's what happened. And then people look at you like you're crazy. We're just sitting over a big fire. You know, about 30 football fans in there having beer, talking football. It was a lovely time. I had a great fit out of it.
It was one of my favorite places I've ever eaten. It was one of my favorite meals ever. Danny, they bring all the nice sides. You pick the cut of meat,
yep,
raw. Then you cook it on the grill like you're in your backyard.
We're all about this place.
Stand
man.
There with yep. a beer, and you're talking to a bunch of dudes from Wisconsin who are super nice wearing Packers jerseys. Would you be in or out on that?
So the general concept is good. If I could avoid talking to strangers and like having the banal small talk that I don't care about at all, I'd be way more interested. If it could be just be me and my buds, I'd be far more interested. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. Yeah. Philly. I mean, did you have any conversations with randoms?
Oh, yeah. No, the locals are super friendly. You know, this is the Midwest nice. Everybody's like, it's disarmingly nice. Let me tell you how nice the people there are. At Lambeau Field, they have it's a big beer cooler where, like, you pick out what beer you want and you can buy it. It's a self-checkout system, guys. You pick out the beer, you go over to a separate line, you scan it, and then pay for it. And I just laughed. I thought that would last for 12 seconds in Landover before that fridge was completely empty and no beer had been purchased.
Indeed. All right, the actual game itself, Miguel. What, I mean, there's two factions. I'm always find myself arguing in the middle against everybody. Faction one is, it's just week two, and they don't want to hear about anything. The other faction is, the sky has actually already fallen, and we're living in a simulation, and they won't win another game or gain another yard. Where are we? What should the truth be? What's your takeaway?
No, a lot of this stuff is fixable, and a lot of this stuff is circumstantial, right? Jaden Daniels' two worst games, Philly Thursday night on the road, probably had an injury. Green Bay Thursday night on the road, we'll get to that, probably had an injury. You know, those are explainable things. By the way, this is a terrible coaching matchup. LaFleur has owned Dan Quinn, four matchups down. He's dominated him all four times. That's not something to overlook either. He knows. Marshawn Lattimore is talking to us about it after the game. They ran exactly the right stuff to confuse that man defense, made the corners look silly. I don't think the corners are silly. I don't think they're great, but they're not that bad either. I think things will turn around. I think you get a bounce back game against the Raiders. I think a lot of this is fixable, is circumstantial. I think the reality check is, that's a team that could win the Super Bowl. That's a team with a depth and a really good roster. This right now is not a team that can win the Super Bowl. It's a playoff team. It's still a very good team that can win 10, 11, maybe even 12 games. But that's a Super Bowl team, and that's what they look like.
So Lattimore, to go deeper into the corners, he looked a lot like he did last season when he struggled last night, and he's now been flagged six times in two games. where are we at on him? I loved what I saw last week, but this has been more the norm than that.
You have to keep him propped up because the house of cards falls if you don't. Amos isn't ready to be a number one, right? You know, he's doing fine, and he had some very nice plays a couple weeks ago.
Saved
he's
a touchdown ready to be- last night. A little underthrown ball from Love on the goal line on the first fourth down, but he made a great reaction play.
He did, but if you slide him to number one, Samristal comes at two and comes outside. I guess Igbinoghene's coming in as your third. It gets progressively less great. I think because of the way they constructed the roster this offseason, he's a bit of a necessary evil. I'm not thrilled by this situation at all. I think you've also seen Quan Martin come over and give him help a lot. I think you're going to see more of that. They've got to find a way to duct tape this thing together, at least until they get a little more confidence in everybody else.
Michael, no matter where he is right now this second, Tucker Kraft is open. How the hell did that happen? How the hell did that guy go 6 for 124?
I hate this because it's a flashback to everything that, like, the worst parts of the Dan Snyder era, where in any primetime game, you'd learn about a tight end you'd never heard of before, and he'd get 150 yards and two touchdowns. Like, Tucker Kraft's better than that. We've heard of him before, but just that random tight end, like, all of a sudden exploits all the matchups. You're like, where did that come from? They did a great job, though. Tip the hat to Matt LaFleur, loaded up two tight ends, ran the running back into those spots, created confusion for the defense and created some mismatches there. I think this team on the whole just was not ready for what Green Bay threw at them. I don't know if Green Bay was, you know, prepping for this during the offseason, during that down week. These guys didn't practice from cut day, which is generally when you start getting ready for the season, 13 days to the regular season, and then the Thursday night game. They had on-field practices twice during that time, and then another practice on Wednesday. It was kind of a half practice this week. I think the Green Bay was just more prepared.
Is it fair to question the lack of preseason activity? You know, the zero pass attempts for Jaden Daniels in August. I understand Terry had his own thing going on, was holding out, what have you. He actually, by the way, has more receiving yards through two games this season than he did last season, even though he's still at around 75 receiving yards and scuffling a bit. The percentage of completions to him is down. The QBR throwing to him is down. But is it okay to say, is it fair to say, maybe they should have done a little more in August? I mean, we're only a few days removed from everybody celebrating them dominating the Giants, but on offense, even in week one, it wasn't smooth. It wasn't pretty.
I agree with that, and I think broadly speaking, they need a little swagger right now. You know, this team last year had a lot of confidence coming into games. I'll cite a couple things for you. Going into halftime, it was bad clock management, but also it was clock management that came from a lack of faith in the team. That was not aggressive play calling by Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. That was, let's bleed the clock, not let the Packers have the ball again, play calling. The fourth and four late in the game, big play. Terry McLaurin's not the one targeted on that play. Terry McLaurin had trouble getting lined up on one of the plays, had to be moved by Noah Brown into the right spot. I think there's a lot of that going on. And look, I'll go into conspiracy corner here with you. I think this was a little more banged up of a team than we realized coming out of the preseason and coming out of training camp. I don't think Dan Quinn did it out of a, I'm a player's coach, this is Club J, yeah, everybody's going to love me kind of situation. I wonder if this was maybe more medically necessary than we realize. I think there's a lot of guys playing through a lot of things right now that these guys are in a much worse injury position than they were even a year ago.
Give me a state of the union of the receiver spot if Noah Brown's got to miss a little bit of time here. Jalen Lane, I like, is a punt returner. I don't know if he's ready to receive some footballs on a lot of complicated routes just yet. We saw Luke McCaffrey for the first time this millennium. Just kind of give me your views here, Philly.
Yeah, you got to get Terry going. I just don't see any other way, right? You're correct. Luke McCaffrey gets a catch late in the game, and it was a wonderful reminder to all of us, really, that Luke McCaffrey plays for the Washington Commanders. We just haven't called a lot of these names very often. I think Noah Brown's good. I put him in that injury camp. He's working through some things right now. You can't use him on all the snaps. Bobby Wagner played 74 snaps of football yesterday, boys. Bobby Wagner can't be doing. I love Bobby Wagner. I am so pumped he's on this team. He brings great leadership. He brings great intensity. There is no world where he should be playing 74 snaps in a game. But to your point about the receivers, I just don't see an option that includes not getting Terry McLaurin going.
And the answer to not having Bobby Wagner play 74 snaps is he can't be on the field for 74 snaps, right? I mean, because he's going to play every single down. That is a lot of work. To Michael Phillips' point, the Richmonder and Odyssey Richmond joining us here on Grant and Danny the Friday after a Thursday night setback in Green Bay that felt ugly and proved costly with injuries. Let's talk running backs for a second. We're awaiting word still officially, but all signs point to Eckler having been lost to the season with just a devastating Achilles injury. So Chris Rodriguez gets activated and plays for the first time against the Raiders, clearly. How does the workload change, though? Eckler has still been their most used guy in terms of snaps. He's been their starter and the guy that gets the first few drives. Do you think McNichols becomes Eckler and everyone else kind of gets in where they fit in, or do you start using Crosby Merritt as a two-minute, four-minute out of the backfield pass catcher, pocket protecting type?
Yeah, I think it's probably an all of the above. Bill snaps are going up for sure. You know, he's going to be used in some of those first and 10 situations where they used Eckler and leaned on him. Hey, get us 5 yards, get us ahead of the chains here, get us into a favorable spot. I think those carries go to Crosby Merritt in the future, but I don't know that there's a world where you can just replace Austin Eckler's production. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he's great catching passes. And yeah, we were I got a chance to check with him real quickly in the locker room, and it certainly sounds like everybody expects it to be out for the season, which is tough given everything he went through last year. Now I do think there's enough talent there to make it work. And in the NFL, you can make it work without a bell cow back. But they'll miss his pass catching for sure.
Green Bay's defense is pretty damn good. We'll find out how good as the season progresses and where they rank and all the DVOA numbers and everything else, but they've been really impressive through two games. How much of that, what we saw last night, Miguel, is a blueprint for future teams? It may not have the horses, but kind of the general idea of how to play this offense.
Well, I just think, you know, Jaden Daniels, his worst game before last night was the Thursday nighter in Philly, and he was off throwing the football that night, but he was still able to run it with decent efficiency. He was still able to get those yardage. That was the stunning thing last night, guys. When he needed to run the ball, when he got into space and started, they just swarmed. They closed on him. I mean, what an incredible defense that is. You know, Micah Parsons, he's a game changer. You could tell Jaden had to be aware of him everywhere he went. It's not replicable in the sense that everybody else isn't like, just go do what Micah Parsons did. He's one of one for a reason. But it certainly makes you wonder about Jaden and how he was feeling and his effectiveness overall last night. And we saw him in the locker room after the game. He was wrapped up pretty good on that leg, and he was walking gingerly. Now, a lot of football players walk like that after games. It's a physical sport, but it's something to keep an eye on because they really can't afford to lose that rushing element of his game.
Speaking of protecting Jaden Daniels, we're two games in. Josh Connerly, the first-round pick's got a bright future. Wasn't great against the Giants. It was worse last night against Micah. Yep. Max Crosby is next. Should they consider Andrew Wiley in some capacity at tackle?
I think you have to at this point, and that's nothing against Connerly. I still love the draft pick. I still love bringing him in. I remind you guys, Morgan Moses, when he was drafted, was declared a complete bust by the end of his first year. Shows up the second season, the game slows down for him. Has a long and productive NFL career. I think he may even still be playing somewhere right now. You know, these things happen for rookie offensive linemen in the NFL. It's a different world. This is a different beast than college football. And Josh Connerly, he realized that on a big stage last night. Now, I don't mind that Dan Quinn left him in. I don't mind that they're saying, hey, you know, figure this out in real time. I think that'll ultimately be good for him. I think he probably does start against Vegas, but I think I'd like to see, you know, particularly against Vegas, because that's obviously a gotta get right game. If you sense that's going on, you got to make the move. You got to get Wiley in there and go with the sure thing, even though I don't know that Allegretti was spectacular either. So you're really waiting out Cosme at this point as well.
Why don't they force more turnovers?
Well, zero. It's hard to force less turnovers than zero. And, you know, it wasn't – these guys didn't play with bad field position, though. These guys started on the 40, on the 45, on the 50, on plus territory. They had a lot of possessions where a couple first downs would have got them a field goal, and they couldn't get those first downs. So I think the field position was on the whole good. But I agree with your larger point. If you don't force turnovers in this league, if you can't get those takeaways – you're not going to win a lot of football games. It's the number one correlator in terms of, you know, the stats and the metrics. if you win the turnover battle, you're in a really good place to win the game. They haven't done that. They've really been fortunate. The offense has protected the ball well. And even in Jaden Daniels' rustiness, he has not exposed himself to those kinds of interceptions, which is a real tribute to him. But 0-0 is not a good place to leave the turnover margin. You got to make them happen.
Yeah, zero takeaways through two games for the Commanders' defense. You're listening to Michael Phillips on Grant and Danny. We'll let you out on this one, Michael. This is what I'm going to tee up for our callers next, and we want to talk about. It's only been two games, right? It's very, very early. But Daniels has not played at his rookie year level. And fair or not, that was the question all offseason. Like, would there be some type of a regression from him playing like an MVP? He played an elite defense last night, but this was probably his worst career game. It certainly was statistically. They kept him from running at all. What have you seen so far, and are you worried even a little bit about that sophomore step back after two games?
I am not worried about Jaden Daniels' long-term ability to play great football in the NFL, and even later this season, his ability to play great football in the NFL. I am worried about his health right now. He's not right, and he doesn't look right. As we saw last season in that little three-game swing after the rib injury, when he's not right, the whole team isn't right because he is the engine that drives this car, and necessarily so. He's a one-of-a-kind player, and you got to use that. They don't have that available to him. Now, part of that is the Terry thing. They've had two on-field practices together, by all accounts, since Terry signed, right? So that's going to get fixed. Jaden still throws a mean fastball. He's still got the moves. You know, he had a nice fake out early in the night last night. Didn't turn into anything, but you still saw the moves. I think he's fine long-term, but I worry about him short-term with that health. I'm not sure he's right now.
Michael, thank you. As always, buddy, have a great weekend.
Thank you, boys.
Glad that you enjoyed Lambeau, as I would have expected that you did. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's talk Jaden Daniels next. That was his lowest rushing total in a full game where he didn't leave with an injury at any point in his career. How did Green Bay do it, and is that something replicable for other lesser defenses? Live from Spanky Shenanigans in Leesburg on a Misery Friday on the Fan.
It's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
They did a great job of their scheme, and it's a really good football team. So at the end of the day, you know, only week two. We'll learn from that. We got to get better. It's a long season.
A succinct Jaden Daniels after last night's game. By the end of the contest, he was hobbled, limping off the field. We mentioned just a few minutes ago on the show that I was told he had an MRI today. It's one of the guys getting evaluated. It's his knee that they're looking at. I don't have any real details. I'm sure they got a lot of work still to do to find out, you know, how healthy he is and what the outlook is on that. Hopefully, he'll be able to play through whatever's going on. But that was a setback in the kind of Jaden Daniels MVP 2025 hunt that a lot of us were setting up when the year began. We're two games into this thing now, Danny, and he's completed 59% of his passes, which is way down from last year. 433 yards. He does have three touchdowns, and this is the beauty of Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels has not thrown an interception yet. He has not been putting balls in harm's way, really. You're not seeing him give the football to the opponent. So, like, even his struggles, even the disappointing outings like yesterday are, he wasn't able to elevate like he did last year.
Yeah, you go back and look at the stat sheet, and you go, 200 yards, two touchdowns. It's not great, but it's also not the end of the world. I mean, you know, if you saw the game, it wasn't outstanding, but we'll forget some of the specifics come December, January.
Most of the yards came in the fourth quarter 100%. When the game was lost. He was on his way to his lowest rushing total ever and his lowest passing total ever in a full game, and he ended up surpassing the passing total at least with some of the garbage time stuff that they got late. But he got sacked four times, couple weeks now through two games where he's been sacked seven times, where he's holding the ball a little longer. And I just think he's been less accurate. So here's the question on the phones we could set up for you guys at 800-636-1067. Why do you think it's looked like this in the passing game so far? What are you blaming this on? Do you think it is a lack of time on the grass together collectively, with Noah Brown not practicing much in the summer, hurt, Terry McLaurin not practicing really at all in the summer, hold out. No preseason time as a starting offense. They had four snaps. Daniels on his only dropback ran for a touchdown, so he didn't even throw one pass. Is that it? Is there adjustments that are being made now where teams are doing something differently after watching the tape all offseason, which was one of the kind of fears, and now Washington's and Cliff Kingsbury and Daniels have to make their own adjustments? What are you seeing? 800-636-1067, because I think this is irrefutable. It has not looked the same.
No.
I just mean throwing the football. You do have a really good rushing performance against the Giants. But otherwise, Daniels has been very pedestrian. I think he was 19th last week in, like, EPA per play on dropbacks. You know, we're talking about, like, fringe 15, 20. Last year, every single week, it was, like, top five, top seven in that range.
Number of things. So I don't. If your thesis is Jaden Daniels didn't get better or got worse, I'll reject that. I'm not saying yours is. But if that's your idea, no. Here's what I think has happened. And this is why, again, I thought they would not start the season well. It's because, whether it was by choice or by force or by whatever, they weren't together. They weren't practicing. You heard Michael Phillips say it. He and Terry McLaurin practiced twice together. That's not enough time. I don't care who you are. Right? Montana and Rice needed some more time to work together. Wes Welker and Tom Brady needed more time. Him and Gronk needed more time. You can't just do that and expect to hit the ground running, and they have not hit the ground running. That's number one. Number two, I think a lot of people get paid a lot of money to study and figure out what you're doing, not just Jaden Daniels, but Cliff Kingsbury, this offense, these tendencies. They don't have a lot of explosive. And that's people sort of say that, what do you mean? Deebo Samuel could take 5 yards and turn it into 50 yards. Yes, he can. When I think of explosive, I think if this guy starts running a fly pattern, the entire stadium goes, oh, the entire defense goes, oh, God, I don't want to end up on SportsCenter. They don't have that. They don't have that right now. Maybe they will one day in Jalen Lane. Maybe when McLaurin gets up to speed, he'll be that. But they don't have it right now this minute. Teams are not afraid of them. Teams are not afraid of getting beat over the top. Teams kind of know where they want their bread buttered, kind of that intermediate short range. You saw Ertz feast. You saw Samuel feast in week number one. That's who they are. That's where they are right now this minute. I think they're defendable in that way because they don't have some of that explosive playmaking. So you combine no time together practicing, this, you know, sort of breeze through of a preseason, McLaurin's lengthy holdout, hold in, whatever, oft-injured Noah Brown being oft-injured, not being on the grass as well, rookie Jalen Lane that's not ready for prime time just yet as a receiver. You add it all up, you get a passing attack that's not going to look anywhere near as good as I expected to look in a month or two.
800-636-1067. Here's where Cliff Kingsbury is going to earn his money, right? He is one of the higher paid coordinators, presumably in the league, as a former head coach. He's highly sought after. He's going to be a head coach again. He did an unbelievable job with Daniels last year. But now you're seeing teams keep him in the pocket.
Yep.
Now you're seeing, last night the Packers said, you're not rolling to your right. Because when you roll to your right, you plant, you throw, you fire, you complete. You're going left when you take, you know, you pull the ball down and you run. So now it's time for Cliff Kingsbury to adjust to the adjustment. And we're going to see if they can do it. Let's go to Reese in St. Mary's, who wants to hop in two games in on Jaden Daniels' start to 2025. What's up, Reese?
What's up, buddy? How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just think it's more of no panic because you're going against basically probably the best defense in the league that we've seen this week, and we ain't going to see that no more for a long time. So it's hard to get everything going on when you got a pass rush that your timing is off, and it was just too much. It's like a college team playing a high school team. Once everything calmed down, Jaden Daniels is going to be just like he was. It's just that he had too much. If he looked this way, somebody at him, looked that way, somebody at him, it just got to calm down, and I guarantee you, after the Raiders, everything be smooth sailing. We ain't got to face Green Bay again until the playoffs. So we'll get our stuff ready by then.
So a couple other things I want to bring up. He just said something important. You're not playing the Green Bay defense again. And I don't mean that team exactly, obviously, not being in the North. I don't know how many defenses are going to be better than them this year. Think about that. Like, where are they going to rank at the end of the year? Based on what you've seen so far, they shoved it on the Lions,
yep,
made them look JV, and they just shoved it on Washington, made them look like a freshman team, right? Is this the best defense in the league right now? It is.
As of this moment, yeah, but they've got Denver, who's excellent.
Yeah.
They got Kansas City, who has been excellent. Pretty good track record there.
They were bad in week one.
They were.
But that's fair. It's a small sample. But I'm just saying, there is a very real chance this is the best defense you're going to play. And I bring that up to a point to, like, Chicago and Minnesota, that game, where everyone's talking about Caleb Williams and how he looked and Ben Johnson's first game and the Bears. They played a really good Minnesota defense with Brian Flores, who will probably be a head coach next year, one of the better designers and callers on the defensive side in the league. And we're now supposed to say this is what Caleb Williams is in 2025. That's a bad first matchup. Mm. Cam Ward, the 1-1 pick out of Miami, kid plays his first game ever. I think he was on the road in Denver, by the way. But it was at the Denver Broncos, right? This is like, this defense is as good as there is in the entire National Football League. And that's your first game. And I'm supposed to watch that and go, ugh, Cam Ward, he's not ready. You know, this is, what are we doing here, right? This might have been the biggest, toughest test that they're going to take all year. This might be as bad as it gets in terms of matchup. So I'm not going to overvalue the performance necessarily, but it is two games where the controllable is Daniels' pinpoint accuracy, which last year was incredible, has not quite been there. To your point, maybe it is partially a receiver issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there were guys running free a ton last year that you're able to throw with some ball placement.
I mean, you saw last night, nobody was open.
No, they were not. But have you seen him miss? Like, he missed Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt underneath early in the game last night.
No.
Remember that, like, 80-mile-per-hour fastball that was nowhere near him? There was another play like that in the first week. I call them the Heinekes, right, where I'm like, these layups have to be hit in this league. The reason I couldn't do the Taylor Heinicke thing that everybody loves so much is layups were not layups. Layups were three-pointers. Like, I need the easy conversion completion to be that. And with Jaden Daniels at a 99.9% clip last year, it was. And I think it will be again this year. But you just haven't seen that sharpness early on. That had nothing to do with Green Bay. That's two games of that now. Lance is in Reston. Lance, what do you think is going on with this passing game right now?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Absolutely 1,000% my favorite show on the radio. You guys are awesome.
Appreciate you, brother.
What I'm seeing from Jaden these first two games is he's leaving these throws short. These short passes underneath, even some of those quick outs. It almost, there's been a couple of passes that almost look like he's grounding the ball, and he's just leaving them short. And when we think about he doesn't have any interceptions, I'm wondering if he's not playing it a little too safe with some of these throws. He's like worried about putting it out there where the defender can potentially get to it.
I appreciate your call, man. Yeah,
the old, like, yeah, no interceptions, right, is the, as bad as a lot of interceptions.
Right. It's the, you know, the Neil Greenberg turned me on to this. It's the tripod of quarterbacking, right? Like, you can have a great yards per attempt, but you're going to have some interceptions. You can have a low turnover rate, but you'll have low yards per attempt. I mean, it's always the push and pull, and every once in a while Aaron Rodgers comes along and throws for 50 touchdowns and two picks. But he threw a turnover-worthy ball in the first game, if you remember, kind of an out to Deebo Samuel, left too far inside, kind of flat-footed. That could have been a pick. But in general, I think there is maybe something to that where he's not forcing things that aren't there. I would generally take that at this point. Down the line, when Terry McLaurin is fully Terry McLaurin, after however, how many knows how many weeks it's going to be, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, I don't know. Yeah, throw a YOLO ball. On 3rd and 8, I don't care. Call it an arm punt, call it a potential for pass interference. Maybe McLaurin comes down with it, et cetera. But right now, it's not as if he's, you know, probably to his benefit to force stuff into traffic. All too often, you know, because your defense in theory is improved, and you know, I'd rather live to fight another day than have a costly turnover. But I see the point.
Zeke is in Southeast on Grant and Danny. Zeke, it's two games in; it's very early. Passing game looks nothing like it did last year. What do you make of that?
Hey, love the show, guys.
Appreciate
first
you.
Of all, I got to give it to if you don't practice, the time is off with the receivers. He has not been able to practice with these receivers. And look, if you're a half second late on the pass, it can be behind or not at the right spot. Secondly, though, when you talk about the sophomore slump, it's not necessarily a quarterback. It's now you've got these defensive coordinators who are getting paid.
Correct.
To figure out a way to stop you. They got a year.
They make a couple million bucks for a reason.
Right. They got a year worth of film on him now. They know his tendencies. They know Kingsbury's tendencies. So now you're right. Kingsbury got to earn his money now. He needs to get guys open better than what he did yesterday.
And I thought he did that to a degree last year. If you remember, when we started bringing up the Cliff, and I know a lot of fans put their fingers in their ears and started yelling and turning blue, but it was happening. Adjustments were made. All I asked for was, please do something different. After Quinyon Mitchell knew exactly where Terry McLaurin was going to be on Thursday night because he lined up on the left-hand side, I'm going, you can't just do that. Do something different. And he did. Moved him around, got him in motion, stacked, a whole bunch of different things. And you saw the offense kind of reignite, coincided with Daniels getting healthier, by the way. But absolutely, that's what I asked for. So here's another example of that where you don't just do the tough guy thing and beat your head against the wall saying, this is how we do it. See what they're doing to you. And I have confidence in Cliff will, by the way. See what they're doing to you and what you can do about it.
I want to go back, though, and accentuate the other part of this, which is like the sacks being taken deeper behind the line of scrimmage where he's still in the pocket.
Yeah.
Not like scrambling and running to lose one or lose two or get back to the line. Or just, you know, the idea that he wasn't allowed to get out of the pocket and run at all last year, right? I think that, to me, is the bigger deal because I think the timing with the receivers will come. The accuracy, we saw it last year. It's there. He's got it. It's a trait that partially made him the number two pick. But that's where you go, okay, they've got something. They've figured something out when they're keeping in the pocket. And maybe the Green Bay's personnel is just better than, say, the Raiders, and so the Raiders won't be able to do it. 800-636-1067. It's only a couple games, but Jaden Daniels has not played at the 2024 level, and now he's banged up. Getting imaging done on his knee as we speak this afternoon. That happened today, and they're trying to take inventory on what's going on. How do you feel about this passing game moving forward? We're Grant and Danny.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Like I said, they executed their scheme, whatever it was. They executed really well because they won the game. And we just didn't make plays. Starts with me, starts with everybody up front, starts with the whole offensive skill group. So it's not pointing the finger at anybody. You know, collectively we're all to blame, and we'll get back to work.
Grant and Danny in Leesburg, welcome back. A misery Friday, we're calling it. These Friday shows after games are rare. Hopefully we get more victory versions than misery versions. You know, we talked to Austin Eckler, coincidentally at this point, I guess, and sadly, we talked to him on the show last week. We do a weekly Tuesday appointment with him every single week on the show exclusively here on The Fan at 5 p.m. And it looks like he's lost for the year with an Achilles. But we asked him about injuries on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
And just the turnaround, because he's the—
I couldn't help but think of that last night.
He's the Players Association rep for Washington and one of the leaders nationally in the NFL from a PA standpoint. And he basically said there's not a lot of data that shows— there's really no data, he said, that shows that there's more risk for injuries. And as I'm watching him, and I know that that could have happened any game, non-contact Achilles, but all of the piling up of the injuries on the short week for Washington, I just kept coming back for that convo. He's probably right, and it might just be a fluky thing, but damn if that wasn't just a crippling night between him, heartbreaking, Wise, who's in tears on the field, every single player coming over to the cart.
Brutal to watch.
Beloved, man, in the locker room. Like that, the game happened, whatever. Some of the clunkers are going to take place. Stinkers are going to happen. That's where it's hard to move on from that
one. Yeah, with Brown and Bates, hopefully theirs are, you know, relatively minor by point of comparison. But those two guys seemingly lost for the year, just, you know, gut punched into, you know, it's— you don't dwell on it as much if you'd won, honestly, which is probably pretty stupid because it's short-sighted, but just with all the negative of the game, and it's like, and in addition to that, here's an extra kick to the giblets, you know, losing these two marquee guys, huge, huge, huge for this team for the year in all likelihood.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're asking you guys about the two-week struggles now of the passing game, and if you have any nerves or why really this is happening. What do you blame it on at this point? Mark's in Largo on Grant and Danny. Mark, we're out in Leesburg. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing? Look, I'm not going to lie. I think the passing game is a little bit underwhelming because you don't see Terry out there with and Noah along with Jaden. I think that's the bigger issue here. But I also think if they get the running game going, you're going to have to use Merritt now, man. I mean, because you don't have Eckler. You're going to have to start him. You're going to have to play Rodriguez. You're going to and sign somebody else. The other thing they may have to do, if Bates is out for a long period of time, you may have to go bring back Cole Turner and get him to be your blocking. I mean, he's big enough. And I know he's not with another team right now. So, I mean, there's some work to do before they go to practice on Monday.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, for the JCM point, of course. I mean, his role increases. I think you'll see Rodriguez be active now. But, you know, whether that replaces Eckler or you use McNichols to do that, I don't know. But your point about balance, I think, is a good one. To me, it's always chicken or the egg. Whenever a team doesn't get enough rush attempts, after the game, you get a cadre of fans or people, analysts, who go, you need to establish the run the ball. To me, you just need some effective plays to do anything. You need good forward passes to get some runs. You need good runs to get some passes. You need first downs. They didn't have that for the majority of the game. It wasn't until it was, you know, semi out of the way where they were finally able to muster a drive or two, converting a few first downs in a row. They were three and out the first two plays. You can't establish anything. You don't get to your 15 script until the middle of the second quarter after Green Bay's had the ball three times. So I understand the point, but yes, one will help the other. Week one was really encouraging the way they ran the football and smacked around a really good Giants defensive front, or one we think is pretty good. They dominated that group, and that was encouraging to see.
Last year, it wasn't like Daniels started extremely fast as a passer. Remember the Tampa game?
Yep.
But I will say in the first 2 weeks, he completed 70 and 80% of his passes, basically. He was 17 of 24 and then 24 of 29 over a two-game period. Now, it might also have been usage or play calling or whatever they were doing. Maybe it was shorter, safer stuff. I'd have to look up, you know, the IAY and the intended air yards and whatnot. Maybe it was just easier throws. But we can all agree, especially starting in that Giants game, like the Bengals game was week three. That was the, oh, my God, this guy's amazing game.
Yep.
That's coming up against the Raiders. Are they in a place where they could have that game, I guess, would be my question. And that's where I would say, no, as an offense, they're just not at that level. They're not clicking in that way. Luke is in Waldorf. Luke, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Very well, thank you.
Listen, is this a moment where we panic? I think it's a moment where we really have to be honest and say, look, we're not quite there yet. This reminded me of that Baltimore game where we just did not look like we measured up. And I don't know what's going on with JD5, right? Because I don't know if he's injured or whatever, but this cavalier attitude that he plays with, I get it, that's him. But it was different when he played against Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow had all the talk about this and that, and he really wanted to cement himself over that. We need that kind of energy every game. And I'm going to tell you now, establishing a run is going to be huge. And I think the rookie gives us the best shot of establishing that. I don't know what Terry McLaurin is going to do, what he's waiting on, but you cannot keep running Debo in motion, then running him back and forth. That just wastes too much energy, and we've seen that before. So I'm in a little bit of a panic because I bought my season tickets, and it doesn't look like we're there yet, but I'm hopeful.
Well, it's a good call. Appreciate you making it. I said this the other day, and I was actually talking to a dad at school drop-off this morning about it. I really wish this game was in week five. I would have loved to have seen it in week five when this group had gotten a chance to gel a little bit, been together, got some practice time, had everybody up to speed, etc. Then we can do this short turnaround thing from Sunday to Thursday going to Green Bay. I would have loved to have seen it. But right now, this minute, I think the caller's point's right. They're not there where Green Bay is. That doesn't mean they'll never get there. It doesn't mean that Green Bay will maintain this level for three more months and win the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that they'll go undefeated and the 72 Dolphins won't get to pop their champagne. But It also is a reminder that this is your current inventory. This is your face the music type game. You faced it. You're not there. Doesn't mean you can't get there. I think it's harder now with some of those injuries. But it's not a gavel slamming time for me. But it's also indicative, and it's also, you know, something just to look at and go, okay, here are the weaknesses. Here are the issues. Here's what might prevent you from it, instead of just kind of a rah-rah homer kind of thing.
At the risk of kind of confirming a prior too soon, and it's such a easy, lazy thing to come back to if they were not going to get off to a fast start.
Right.
I can already tell you, though, I think next preseason I need more. And Terry will be out there, which will be great, but I need them to just try a little more in games with guys. Like, you can't have zero pass attempts for a second-year quarterback, for me. And I do think that some of that is a factor here. There are others, clearly. But good riddance, Green Bay's defense. I'm glad they're in the rearview mirror.
I don't want to see those guys for a long time.
Bring on defensive coordinators that are NFL lifers, you know, that have been in this league for a long time, that have to deal with Cliff Kingsbury running some Saturday stuff that works and that is exotic and fun. Because Halfley, the coordinator for Green Bay who came from college, had it all figured out. Didn't have a whole lot of questions. He didn't bubble in right away. You ever take a test where you just sit down and you're like, oh, that's A, that's C? It's like you got the open book or something.
Oh, yeah.
He knew all the bubbles on the Scantron to fill in.
Do you, like, would it surprise you after this season if it came out there was some kind of crazy story where there was like a Spygate type scandal and he did have everything and like he really knew what it was? And you go, okay, well, that game makes sense now.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. A lot of people are asking me about Daniels getting the knee looked at when they thought it was an ankle. I also thought it was an ankle, just
that's
based
what it looked
on
like, didn't it?
The ankle is what kind of rolled a little bit. Like his cleat got caught in the grass and the leg kind of turned sideways. But yeah, what I heard was the knee was getting looked at. So hopefully it's minor, but something to track going into the weekend for sure. Grant and Danny on the Fan will take you up to 6:15. Don't forget about, and a Nats leadoff from Spanky Shenanigans in Leesburg next.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.